You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
It's not the most the king, yo. It's about a thing.
Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I have Brittany Luce here, professional podcaster.
Hi.
Do you, like, introduce yourself as a podcaster to people?
You know what? People are always like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I host a podcast for my job. People are like, oh, I have a podcast too. And I'm like,
you're like, no, but I'm like a real no shade, but like, I actually do this.
It's no, I
like
never say that, but yeah. I am like, no, they're like, is that your real job? And yeah. I'm like, yeah, this is the only job that I have.
Yeah. Seriously.
And then they're like, oh, do you have a benefactor? And I'm like, no.
A benefactor?
This pays my bills.
Yes. So Gimlet, I guess, is your benefactor.
Yeah, I guess if you call a benefactor, where I still show up every day against my will.
And the nod is amazing. Bergdorf.
Thank Chitlins, you.
Chitlins at Bergdorf's maybe one of my favorite podcast episodes of 2017, period.
Thank you so much. That was like a dream come true. It was like I talked to like Robin Givhan.
I know.
And
Stephen Burrows.
And Stephen Burrows, who I was like, I never imagined I'd talk to Stephen Burrows.
I know.
And I talked to Beth Ann Hardison.
I love
it was
Beth
just
Ann.
Like,
yeah.
It was a dream. And also it was like this thing that like I knew that I cared about and like I was interested in my whole life.
Yeah, that showed,
and then like, no, I was like, no one's going to care. There's no way anyone's going to care
and
about
and I'm sure
this.
The response to that episode was amazing.
Yeah, there's been so many different kinds of people who don't even care about fashion. I've just been like, I love this episode. Yes. I had no idea.
Yes, and I love that you guys focused on this like period in the 70s where there was this huge black influence on the fashion world, because a lot of people like forget that history. And like, I only know about it because I used to, you know, I collect vintage magazines and I know that the 70s was this like huge moment for black models and for black designers. But like, for you to bring that into the current day, I feel like it was probably new information for a lot of people.
It was new information for a lot of people. And it was exciting to see other people respond so with so much surprise and delight about learning something like that. A lot of times when people think about things that concern black people, because like I host a show, it's called The Nod.
It's amazing.
And yeah, it's I agree, I'm biased. But my best friend Eric and I, we co-host a show called The Nod, and it's about black culture. And a lot of things that people think of when they think about black culture have to do specifically with black men or black masculine people. And there are contributions in, you know, things like fashion or beauty. Yeah. Or style that, you know, a lot of times tend to center around women, femmes, or gay men, and that a lot of people don't count as a part of like the black culture canon.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy because I'm just like, that's like the well from, you know, where everything else springs.
Exactly.
So it really made me excited that that people, just to see people like embrace it with like maturity and without any weirdness and just be excited, as excited about it as I am.
Yes, yes. Okay. And The Nod is amazing. Everyone should listen to it. And before that, I knew you from For Colored Nerds.
Yes.
Did you just start that like one day with, like on your own?
Or? Yeah. My friend Eric, we have been best friends for 12 years. We met in college. And he was like, we should start a podcast. And I was like, why? There's no reason for that. Like, people already have The Read. Like, we don't need to start
people
a podcast.
Already have The
That's
Read.
How I was just like, we don't need to do this.
Yeah.
And then, he really like pressed me on it. We kind of tried to make it work, and then we really committed to it in September of 2014.
Yeah.
And then we kept making For Colored Nerds up until July of this year, July 2017.
And, I mean, it had a huge following. Like,
thank you.
Huge, right?
I mean, it was It was more than, it was like, I don't know how to quantify huge, right, because it's like, you know, there are some shows that have millions of listeners, but okay, we had like a dedicated, we had like thousands and thousands and thousands of people,
right,
who were like dedicated to downloading, right, and like, right, listening, which, right, is so, right, massive to,
right,
me.
I mean, here's the thing. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I want to start a podcast. It's like, just start. Like, you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
You would have never thought that when you started in 2014, you'd be where you are now, but you have to take the first step. And I have people and they're like, oh, like I want to start, but I don't know how. And I'm like, I have GarageBand and 2 mics. Like, that's enough to start, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you also offered me some wine.
Yes, and some wine.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
That's a good, that's helpful. Always, always.
But you're like out here and going to these very fabulous events. I know you were at Black Girls Rock.
That was so funny. That was funny. That was cool. But
and
it was so,
so
weird.
You have to like get dressed up. I'm sure people like notice you from time to time, I would imagine.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes. I guess.
And I'm sure like as your career continues, you'll continue going to more and more events. So like, have you started to think about kind of like your look and like what you want to communicate with your look?
This is like the, this is my, this is the biggest, this is like, how do I put it? So, like, I used to really enjoy getting dressed, doing my hair, mm-hmm, doing my makeup. That used to be, I mean, for pretty much most of my life.
Yes.
Kind of, like, less so when I was in my awkward teen years, or else I had my own definition
way,
of what was
sorry,
fly.
Not awkward teen years.
No, that was one photo.
Because I saw your cheerleading photo on Instagram. Okay. I was like, okay, Brittany, this cheerleading
I used to, first it was a pom-pom, to correct you.
Okay.
I'm a Midwesterner. No, literally, that sport doesn't exist anywhere else.
A
it's
pom-pom.
Very normal for you. Yeah, P-O-M-P-O-N.
I've
it's,
never heard of that.
You have to Google it. It's so, it's like a cross between, like, drill team, cheerleading, and, like, dance team.
Is it, like, a black girl thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm,
white
mm-mm.
girl thing.
Super white girl thing. I think
okay.
they only happen in like Michigan, Ohio,
okay.
and Arizona.
Okay.
The
so
only
it's
places
like
I've seen
step.
It.
It's not
no, it is not. If I had to join the step team would suffer. I have rhythm, but like I don't know if I have the whole.
Yes, and also you went to Howard.
Yeah,
I did a semester at Spelman, and like I thought I had rhythm, and then like you go to like an HBCU, and
yeah.
you understand that there are like levels.
There are levels. I have yeah. rhythm. Like I know how to like. My father was really big on testing me and my. Like he used to test us. Like he'd put on music,
no
and he'd clap on beat. Yeah, from we were like 1.5. he was
amazing.
You have to clap on beat. So rhythm is not an issue.
Is he a
I think the dancing. My he was
okay.
A lot
say.
Of he like worked. I mean his by career he worked at IBM for 37. 37, about 36 and a half
oh, wow.
years.
So smart
but
and like creative.
I guess so. Well, the creative thing he kind of like put on pause when he was a, like maybe a teenager.
Okay.
But when he started college, he was just like, I want to make money. So I'm going to study business. I want to become
real.
A businessman. But your question was about like the look. It's like I used to really be into that whole thing. I was like super into like hair, makeup, fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hair, I was like not that talented at.
Mm-hmm.
But makeup, fashion, that whole thing. But then like... starting to work, like I worked for the government, I worked in a lot of corporate environments, you sort of lose, you go through this, like I went through this like identity crisis where I was like, okay, so I used to go to the club 5 days a week when I was like 22, 23,
yeah, yeah.
and I was wearing like a leather mini skirt and like thigh high boots
yes.
and like a sheer blouse and a lace
yes,
bra
yes,
and
most,
like a face
yes.
full makeup, like it was like Wednesday and it was like August. Like all this pleather in August. And like that was what I did. And I was like, yeah, I feel great. I feel comfortable in this. This is
yeah.
fine. This is who I am. But then I started going to work and I was like, okay, I had to like dress a lot
yeah.
more conservatively
mm-hmm.
and like figuring out like you spend all, you know, you only have so much money when you start your career. So it's like you want to make sure that you have appropriate clothes for work.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the weekend, I was like, well, who am I? What do I wear? What's going on in my life? And then a whole bunch of just like crazy life stuff and then like bad relationships and like,
yeah.
Like losing, I didn't get fired. I did get fired from one job, but
oh, really?
Like I changed jobs like every, I changed jobs or, and, or moved every year for like 6 years.
Wow.
So it was just like, never really had the luxury. I never really had the luxury in my early adult life to be like thinking about like, how do I want to look? Like,
mm-hmm.
where am I getting? So now it's like, I'm at a point where I actually can like afford it. I can like,
yep.
I have a slightly more time now that we've ended For Color Nerds. I have slightly more time to think about it. But like, now also it's becoming like more of a professional imperative that I figure this shit out.
Right. Yeah.
And it is like, I don't have the, I have more time than I did before, but I don't have like the time.
The time.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's like something that I kind of think about, like Eric and I, my co-host and I, we walked the red carpet at Black Girls Rock.
Yeah. I
which
saw
was
the
like,
pictures. You looked fabulous.
Thank you.
Did
it
you
was
do your
really
own hair
fun.
And makeup and like,
I didn't do it. I got my hair. I got my hair. Well, the hair was interesting. I love my hairstylist, but she did my hair. And then she was kind of like, she It's complicated, but she like gave me an updo, and then she's like, "You can take the back part kind of out," and I was like, "I will." And then I was just like, "My hair, like then it was like so many bobby pins in it that I was like, girl, yeah. like I'm sorry, like I've ruined it. This. I'm so sorry, like, I've ruined whatever you did." Yeah. So I kind of styled my own hair, did the best that I could to not embarrass her. Makeup I did myself, and the dress I picked out myself, that was so, but it was like, we had 2 days. They told us 2 days in advance. That we thought we were going to be working.
Right.
We thought we were like, for whatever that means in a podcast, being on a red carpet. We thought we were going to be working. We're like, okay, this is like a random opportunity, but yeah. like, yeah, yeah, we'll work the red carpet. We'll like talk to people yeah. and try to make stuff happen. And instead, they were like 2 days beforehand. They were like, yeah, they realized that we had no clue that we would be on it.
Oh, wow.
And so then they tell us and we like completely freak out. Like yeah. I had 7 nervous breakdowns in the 48 You're hours like, preceding. Oh, my God. I had a nervous breakdown like 60 minutes before whatever photo of me was taken. And so it was an awesome experience. It was so yeah. much fun. I learned a ton. Like there's so much effort. I have so much more respect for I already had a lot of respect for people like stylists and makeup artists.
Oh my God.
And glam squads and all that.
They're artists. They are truly artists.
They are.
They are. They are. And I also have so much respect for when you see these women and men who have to pose on the red carpet and you have 1,000 people calling your name.
It's so terrible.
And you have to smile and you have to know all of your angles and
yeah.
you have to be gracious to everyone and it doesn't matter if your feet hurt. Like, it's not
no.
easy.
And my feet hurt. Like, the next day, yeah. I remember talking to Eric. It wasn't like we stayed out super late. I think we were both home probably at midnight. The next day, I thought I was getting the flu. Like I had that much fatigue.
I know.
Because it's like you're like a deer in the headlights.
So much energy.
I'm thinking about it more and more, like trying to be more intentional about like picking out outfits in advance, making mm-hmm. sure that like I go get my hair cut more, rather my mm-hmm. color, I haven't had my color done in 5 months, but that's not my fault. I love my stylist.
Yes.
But she was outside of a salon. She was traveling and doing other people like rappers and stuff like that. She was too busy for me, but I'm going to see her at the end of this month. But, yeah, no. It's like it's a whole other thing to think about. And coming from a career where no one sees you,
yes,
to go from like you were like I can wear so many people come to work and like we have a very cute office. Mm-hmm. We have lots of cute people, but if I wanted to, I could wear athleisure every single day. That's
it's
my
like
fantasy.
Startup Brooklyn, like yeah, it's like young
they can't
and
see
casual.
You. They can't see you. So right. like the whole thing of like now recently I had to take headshots. I'm like headshots fine, but I'm like oh I wish I would have like tested a bunch of different outfits. I don't have time for that shit. Yeah. I don't know where I got this idea from.
I know.
But like
know.
Being ready for that sort of, I'm trying yes. to be in the mindset of stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yeah, I was literally just going to say that exact quote because it's so true. Like if you keep everything like how it needs to be, then it's not this like huge rush when you have to like yeah. get ready for something. So you and your boyfriend are so cute together.
Thank you.
And I saw all your pictures together at the event and you guys are adorable. And I feel like there are two types of partners. There are like the partners that have no opinion and are like, you always look beautiful. And then there are the partners that have like a lot of opinions. Like, oh, I like when you wear your hair like this. I like when you wear these type of things. Which one would you say he is? Like, does he give you feedback on your look? Like,
he is a combination of both.
Okay.
So like anytime I do anything different,
yeah.
Like if I get a nail color yeah. or if I get like...
Oh my God, he notices?
Yeah, if I get like a nail color or like if I do something with my hair, he's always just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because it's like novel. So he's just like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
But that's like really romantic, by the way.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's the best. He's the best. He's the best.
Most men don't notice shit.
Oh my God, he notices everything. But the other thing is
if you get like a different nail color, he'll be like, wow, I love that color in your nails. Unsolicited.
Yeah. But the other thing is though too, is that like he has opinions. But if he thinks that, like, I am, like, really about to go left, I'll be like, I don't know why you want to wear that shirt. Like, just, I don't know why you want to wear that shirt. He's like, that shirt is country as hell. Or, like, if he thinks it's something, it's country is his favorite. That's his favorite.
Where is he from?
He's from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why. Well, I use country, too. But he thinks country is, like, his. The thing is, he's like a city boy. He's like from San Juan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to him, like like everybody is country because I mean, San Juan is a real city.
Yeah.
And I'm from. He's been to like my hometown, Farmington Hills, Michigan, which is like the definition of a suburb. And so, I'm always just like, look, just admit it. Like you think I'm country. Just be honest with me. You don't have to be keeping it to yourself. But yeah, if he thinks I'm gonna look super dusty or really country, then
so
he'll be like. Stop. Or he'll be like, you know what? We're going. Can you please put on something else? Because we're going someplace. Can you put on some earrings or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, he thinks that everything I do is great. He thinks I am a delightful, hilarious, genius, beautiful, amazing person.
And is there anything that you know that he really likes that you do like for him? Like for me, it's like wearing high heels. Like, if I never had to wear heels again, I would be, that would be A-okay with me. But my husband, he's like, oh, look, those heels, it's amazing. And, like, your legs look so great. And I understand where he's coming from. Like, I can visually understand the appeal of high heels. So I'll wear them to appease him at times. But, like, I can't.
I'm trying to think, is there anything that I will...
like, do for him?
Oh, two things. Color. He complains a lot that I wear too much black.
Okay, so he likes when you're like in...
Yeah, if I wear color...
skin tone. You should wear color.
Yeah, so if I wear... I try to remember. If ever I buy something that's colorful, I'm like, oh, I remember that he likes that.
Yeah.
And then he... he does not like for my hair to ever be straightened.
Oh.
He's like, a couple times I've had it done, and he's like, oh, this looks good. Like, it looks cute. But, like, it doesn't make him feel, like, excited, I don't think. I think he thinks he'll see it, and if it looks good, he's like, oh, that looks good. That looks good.
That's
but like,
the same with Umu, yeah.
Yeah, but if I get my hair, like, because every time I get my hair cut, I get it straightened, so, you know, she can see it. It's all lined up. But whenever my hair is, like, out, and curly, he always likes it. And sometimes if I put it up, then he's like, oh, that's so cute. So cute. But that's pretty much it. I would definitely say, though, definitely. Oh, yeah, and he wishes that I would wear shorts, which I'm like, I'm not putting myself
so
through
random.
That. He always, if I could walk around with my legs exposed every single day,
yeah,
he would be like, this is great. But that's like not practical. No, it's not practical.
That's adorable.
How would I get anywhere?
That's adorable.
Yeah, no, he's a nice guy. He's great.
We need to talk about your hair because your hair is amazing.
Thank you. Wow, and this is great. I love this. You came here, give me wine, give me compliments. It's great.
Exactly. But you do have beautiful hair. I know you have a very super close relationship with your hairstylist, but take me through your hair journey from the beginning. Like, have you always been natural? When did you first do color?
Okay, so I've always been natural. My older sister had perm, and my mom saw that perms. Like, every freshman in our high school that we all attended had to take a swim class. And so in my family, I was like, you go to high school, you get a perm. So my sister got a perm, and then she took her freshman year swim class. And it was like, you know, before she had braids or cornrows or whatever.
Yeah.
And so whatever, she never thought about it. But then her hair started breaking up.
Yeah.
So then she eventually had the traditional go natural thing when she was like 18.
Yeah.
But as a result, I never had a perm. My mom
God.
Oh, no perms. So yeah, I never had a perm. But I used to get my hair, my auntie would do my hair or whoever.
Hot
comb and the whole thing.
Hold your ear.
Yes, exactly. And then I still got burned on my forehead anyway because I have a big ass forehead. And so, yeah, I did that. And then when I was like 13, 14, I had the same freshman swim class. And I was just like, yeah, I just want to see where my hair, I remember feeling like, I'm wetting my hair like any, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The big thing when you're a little black girl is like, oh my God, I don't want your hair. Unless you are under mother's supervision, you cannot wet your hair.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm doing this all the time, every day. I'm like, why can't I just find out what it looks like? So I started wearing my hair curly, but pulled back. I was using the scariest of products.
Lots of gel.
So it was like Dax, actually. I was using Dax bergamot Dax pomade.
Oh my God, with those like old school, like...
little Afro people on the... Yeah, it was such a mess. So I was using Dax, Murray's,
Low-key, that does work.
No, Murray's for edges. And it does work.
It
does. I actually still to this day love the smell of Dax. So I used to use that and like shampoo, no conditioner. It's so scary.
No
so scary. Maybe
swimming.
Conditioner, but like it was just all... It was so scary.
Yeah. You weren't caring for your curls.
No, because that wasn't like a thing. This is like 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
So then I started wearing my hair out maybe when I was like a sophomore, junior, senior, and then in high school. And then right before I started college, I went to visit my older sister who lived in Harlem at the time. I'm from Michigan. She lived in Harlem at the time for 10 days before I started college. So I went, I got my hair cut at this place called, I can't even remember, but it was this salon that doesn't exist anymore that was on Lenox Avenue around 127th Street
like
or something.
Whole Foods is there now.
Yeah, exactly. So I got my hair cut by this guy. He cut off all my dead ends. I have like a bob basically, but... when my hair grew like weeds after that.
Right, because it was healthy.
Yeah, because it was healthy and I was able to like retain length.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he like got me like using Aveda, this product that I don't even know if I think it's been reformulated called B Curly.
Mm-hmm.
That saved me. I used to use Aveda B Curly and I remember starting to co-wash around 16, 17. So that was when, like, he's the first person that got me on a regimen. He, yeah, through my sister, between the two of them, like I started thinking about, oh, my hair needs moisture, and like, oh, all of these,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
So it was either like, I was either doing like regular curly style, and then also I moved to DC and at like 17, 18, went to Howard and started going to the Dominican salon.
Okay, can we talk about this for a second?
Because I love Dominican salons. I'm so embarrassed.
Going to Spelman in Atlanta, of all places, I was not prepared for the scrutiny around my hair. Like, I just wasn't.
Really?
Because, I mean, in the, so,
you're
the
from South, New York, though, right?
Yeah.
It's a different level in the South.
The South, all black school, all girls school. Mm. So, it would be like, it'd be like, so, are you going to do something with your hair, Brooke?
And I'm wait, like, what were you doing it with your hair at that point?
Well, so I was in Atlanta, so of course I had to tap into like the weave and whatever culture. I mean, it's amazing there. So you're like, but you just, I was, the amount of money I was spending getting my hair and nails done was really shameful for a college student. Yeah. But it was like, it was so important because you always had to look on point because everyone else looked on point.
Very HBCU.
Very, yeah, HBCU. And I'm coming from Stanford where everyone was in sweatpants, because I was at Stanford for a year and a half before I did the semester at Spelman. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in sweatpants and flip-flops, and I got to Spelman and I was like, I am not prepared.
That's
for
how
this,
my high school is. My high
for
school
this
is
fashion show
very
every day.
Much like sweatpants, like hardtail yoga pants,
rollover hardtails, yeah, everything, the solo pants.
Oh my god, yeah, all of those things. Yeah. And so that's what I was used to. That and like Birkenstock clogs.
Yeah.
And like we had this brand called Moose Jaw that was very popular in
Moose,
the Midwest.
Not.
Yeah, it was like, so it was like Moose Jaw hoodie, Birkenstock clogs, your hardtail, and like, you know, hardtail yoga pants, yeah, rollover, and like all these different colors. And that was like the, yeah, uniform.
Yeah. No, that's not going to fly at Howard.
No, not at any type of HBCU. So it was like, I had, I definitely, I don't even know if I ever got clothing right to my fellow classmates when I was in college. Yeah. I did figure out what to wear to the club very, okay, early. Yeah. So I was like the queen of dressing for the club. I could get, like, I could, even to this day, if I travel anywhere.
Yeah.
I always have a club. I have a club. I went to Stockholm for work, I don't know, almost a year ago. And I remember, like, I traveled with one of my bosses, and I was, like, in bed watching Black Mirror. I was, like, it was, like, nighttime. I'm, like, in this great, like, hotel on the outskirts of Stockholm. And I saw a friend of mine from Howard on Instagram at the club in Stockholm popping bottles.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because she was, like, she was there for work. She does, like, PR for Absolute. And so I was, like, hey, what's up? She was, like, I was, like, I can meet you at the club in 30 minutes. She's, like, great, come through. Put on my club dress.
What is
went to the club.
Key to dressing for the club?
I would say this is the thing. I think that when you're when traveling, especially, and also too, like I'm a like now I'm a citified person. Mm-hmm. If you're in LA or you know Miami and you want to go to the club, put on the 7-inch heels, go for it.
Yep.
But if you are in a city like where you need to be walking around and stuff like that, and also at the club, you're likely going to be standing for long periods of time. You want to dance,
you wanna
right?
You don't want to be uncomfortable.
I would say that's the point where you find like a heel that looks. I think that's when you find the heel that looks cool.
Yeah, the chunky heel, right. The block heel.
Yeah, I think that like a dinner or something like that, a place, something where you're going to be sitting for a long time, dinner, opera, theater, go for the high heel because you're going to be sitting for so long.
Exactly.
But if you're going to go to the club, I have made this mistake. We all have made this mistake. Were you wearing like the too tight, too tall, like painful ass shoes and it doesn't help.
Exactly.
So like I'm a big fan of like the... Like you get the really great ankle boot or you find a really beautiful color or a fun print or an interesting material. And then like you in like the 1 to 3 inch range, you get like a chunkier heel.
Yeah.
And then like you wear something that's tight and dark because like if you get drinks spilled on you, you don't want to have too precious of a fabric, especially if you're traveling. You don't want to have too precious of nothing that needs to be ironed.
Smart.
And then... depending on the weather, I always am like a big fan. I like a larger jacket or some sort of kimono type thing over it.
Ooh, nice.
Because then it's like if you're cold, you can have it.
Exactly.
And if it's summer, then you don't need it.
Yeah.
But like if you're cold, then you can have
it.
Even
in summer, I always get cold at night.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I need that extra. I'm older. I see these like young girls walking around the meatpacking
With their arms and
straps.
Like, no,
and I'm like, aren't you cold? And I'm like, maybe I'm old. I'm cold looking at you.
And then an earring. I always feel like at the club, people can't see. Everyone's standing around you. They cannot see your shoes. They may not be able to see your outfit,
so like a statement earring.
But yeah, if you have the hair, if you have a big eye, I always do a big club
eye.
Black like winged ass eye. So I'm like so 2008 for that. But
I love a winged liner.
I love dressing for the club.
Yeah, you are very close with your stylist currently.
Yes,
and she's colored your hair.
Yes, you are
the first person I see a lot of black girls with natural hair that have blonde, but their hair never really looks healthy. I'd say you have like a honey blonde. Yeah, it's blonde.
Yeah, right? It is blondish.
It's
blonde. Yeah,
it's
is.
It's like a honey. It's a beautiful. It's not like a harsh blonde. Thank it's not you. Like a blonde that contrasts with your skin tone. It's not like a.
She's a genius.
It's just like this beautiful, beautiful hair color. Like looking at you, you can tell you didn't like buy like a Shea Moisture at home. Like. This clearly is a professional dye job that you have. So when I met you, I was like, oh my gosh, like your hair dye is amazing. And you told me how you're so close with your stylist.
I love her.
Was she the one to introduce color into your life?
So I had one false start with color. My best friend, God bless her. Her name is Iman. She went to Howard with me. I love her.
Yeah.
They were giving out free hair dye on the yard, which is like our quad sort of area at Howard. And we like didn't want to go to class that day. So she was like, you want me to dye your hair? I was like, yeah, I've never done that before. So she dyed it. And then it was right before this is around the time. So she dyes my hair.
Did you have to bleach it first?
I don't even remember. It was like, I have no clue what happens in the drugstore stuff. This is like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So she dyes my hair around this time, either shortly before or after. I think it was after. My younger sister has the most, she and my mother both have this beautiful, thick, curly hair.
Okay.
My hair is not thick. I have very fine, fine, fine hair.
But it looks very, like, full.
That's like literally my stylist is a genius. She cuts it that way. Okay. But my hair straight, it's like, oof, I look like, oof, it's not thick at all. So my mother and my sister both have this really thick hair that can withstand a lot of heat.
Yeah.
My younger sister, she's like really good at straightening her own hair. Always looks professionally blown out. It's amazing. So I was like, she was like a sophomore at Howard. Oh, no. She was a freshman at Howard. I was a junior. I was like, I didn't want to pay to get my hair done because I didn't have the $35 to go to the Dominican salon because I was in college.
Also, so, I feel like the Dominican salons used way too much heat.
Yeah, they definitely do. There's some that you can go to, but you have to like seek them out.
And you also have to like borderline be obnoxious and be like, please, can you please do not go above this temperature? Sorry, it's too, like, you just have to not. I think that like more women need to understand, like, don't worry about being considered a bitch because
no, it's your hair
damage. That's over.
It's oh, I'm
it's done. I've had to cut out like huge sections of my hair, like get a huge haircut because I've had heat damage. And I'm like, so what if you think I'm a bitch and I'm crazy? But
it's my hair.
It's my hair.
Yeah. No. So So my sister did my hair. She burnt off like some part, major part in the front or in the, it was so messed up. So like, I ended up having to go to see a professional, get a bob. When I was like, this is a theme. I was like 19, I had to get a bob right before my 20th birthday. And the bob was amazing. Like, he killed it. He also was like, wait, he's like, you told me your hair wasn't even. He was like, and he starts looking through and seeing all this uneven ass color that my friend did. So he's like, you just told me that your hair was not even light. So he was like, the color is messed up. And he was like, he looked around the salon, he starts slapping his thigh, and he was like, when will people learn? Friends don't. No.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, thank you, Demetrius. Like, I'm sorry. And so from then on, I was just like, you know what? My hair broke off so bad in the time after that. And like, I went through weird.
Color's dangerous. I think
it's hard.
People don't realize. They're like, oh, I want to change. They just like get something at home and they do it. Like, I just don't do color yourself. Go do your research. Find someone good. Yeah.
Unless you have like that super strong, like nothing can happen to do no wrong hair. Like,
which very few people have.
Right. And like, if you really love a punk rock look, which not a lot of people, like that's not their main, they're not even allowed to have that at work. Most people like, unless that's your aesthetic and that's your hair type, then go for it at home.
Yeah.
But most people, you need to see a professional. Yeah. So like, I didn't have color for a long time after that. I just wanted to get my hair to a healthy place because, like, I was going through all sorts of weird haircuts and, like, not seeing the right people and having heat damage and using bad products. Mm-hmm. So I met my stylist that I work with now. Her name is Illy Luciano. Okay, she works at Salon Ruggieri now on Fifth Avenue.
Okay, you're putting that out there. You're not, like,
no, because I want her. My thing is I want her to get booked up.
That's, okay, I'm going to put her in the show notes.
Yes, put her in the show notes. Yeah. I want her to get booked up. She's the best.
Yeah,
she also works with people who are actually famous and not me.
Well, you showed some of her salon on Instagram stories, I believe. Mm, and it was, like,
it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Like, okay.
She's the best. She's like walking distance. You should.
Okay.
She's the best. I found her on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was watching like a Hey Friend Hey video and I noticed that she had really good layers cut in and she was like, oh yeah, this woman did it. She did a great job and she didn't cost a lot of money. And I was broke. I was like 24. I was like, all right, I'll see this woman.
Yeah.
So I found her website. I booked her. She was at that point, a Dominican salon out in Bay Ridge.
Oh, wow.
And then.
So you traveled.
I traveled. I was living in Harlem at the time.
Yeah.
So I traveled.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't afford to see her all the time because it was like, I was always losing my job. I was always going through some sort of personal drama and like not knowing how to budget. budget for a haircut and understanding the importance. So I used to only see her once a year. 2 years ago, I started seeing her every 3 months. And it was like my hair started growing. And then like the curl pattern really started to come through. My heat damage was gone. And so maybe about a year ago, I was like, I really want, maybe 9 months ago, I was like, I really, no, about a year and a half ago. I was like, I really want to try some color. So she gave me a little rinse. And she started, because I told her about my previous, actually, she does my friend Iman's hair too.
Okay.
Now Iman has like, maybe hair that's about as dark as yours. Yeah. She's platinum blonde now.
Whoa.
Because like Illy did it. Yeah, and her hair's healthy because Illy did it. Okay. So she already had started her blonde journey. And so like my stylist, she was just like, Illy was like, come on, girl. Yeah. Like it's time. You've been talking about color for years. Yeah. Like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So she was giving me little bits. Like I was starting to get a little brown, like light brown.
Yeah.
I saw her maybe 6 months ago, 5 months ago. And I was just like, yeah, I want more of the same.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, okay, whatever, girl. I came out of that salon blonde as hell. I like literally, like my boyfriend couldn't believe it. My family couldn't believe it. I went home to visit my parents that weekend. And they were just like, oh, everyone loved it.
Yeah.
And now
it looks amazing.
Thank you.
And it feels like so, like I've only known you with hair like this. So it feels like I can't imagine you with darker hair.
Yeah. No, see, I'm starting to like miss darker hair because it was like,
it suits you so well though.
Dark hair, I think, gives like succubus vibes. And I miss that whole like autumnal, because I'm like a Scorpio, so like I miss all that autumnal, like I'm gonna steal your soul.
Here's the thing, I feel like your hair with like a dark lip and like wearing dark colors is very seductive. Because I feel like wearing all black, okay, it's nice, but when you are wearing all black with blonde, I think it's like gorgeous.
It is with a dark lip.
With a
it's
dark
so
lip,
powerful.
It's such a like power bitch.
And I never really thought about dark lips before. Now it's like I love it. It's so powerful. So I'm like I love what she's done with my hair. I am thinking actually about doing more of like an ombre and like I'm seeing her at the end of the month to do my color. So I'm like,
that's good.
We're gonna see what happens. She's the best though. She's the best. If you need color and you are in New York, she can do anything, all types of hair. She's genius.
Amazing. Okay. Well, I feel like I have a very love-hate relationship with hairstylists, just because of the waiting. What do you think are the keys that people should look for to know if they have a good hairstylist or if they should look? Like, how do you know that you have a good stylist?
I feel like I feel like we communicate very well.
Okay. So she's honest.
She's honest. And she's like, she's also just like a really kind person. Like she doesn't just do my hair. She does my hair, my, like few of my friends' hair, a couple of my coworkers and ex-coworkers. Yeah. She does my mother. My mother was in Michigan. My mother comes a couple of times a year to get her hair cut.
I mean, that's black women in our hair. Like, you have a very special relationship with your hairstylist. When they move away, it's like this devastating. Like,
oh my God, don't even.
It's like, please consult me before you make any big life decisions.
Oh yeah. I mean, every time I see her, she's always like, I want to say like, my hair had grown a lot in like a really short period, like earlier this spring.
Yeah.
And she was like, ooh, she was like, we're approaching wedding up through hair. And like every time I see her, she's always like, okay, so for your wedding, which like nobody has proposed to me. I have no wedding coming up that I know of.
Planning ahead.
And she's like already planning ahead. But I would say kindness is a big thing. Communication, feeling like the person is also like not going to take things personally if you don't want to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then also like gut. Like, do I feel like I can trust this person?
Yes.
Like, I remember realizing halfway through the coloring process when like the last time I got color a few months ago, that I was like, this is definitely gonna be blonder than I anticipated. And she's like, no, it's gonna be fine. Just trust me.
Yeah.
And she was 100% right.
Yeah.
And like now it's like, people all the time are like, who colored your hair? The only type of like hair color that I see, hair color as natural as mine and the other people that I know, like literally animals and babies, like small children. Like,
you'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay authenticity guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
kindergartners and puppies have the highlights that I have, and she, it's all her.
And like, she does highlights and lowlights,
everything. And like, if you have gray, like my older sister and I, we're both like starting to gray, and she does the whole, my mother has like, but my mother has perfect gray, and she will not even touch my mother's hair color.
That is my dream. Like, because here's the thing, some people go gray in a way that's very glamorous and chic, and they're all white and gray, and it's like amazing. And then most people go gray and then they have patches. Like, I really hope that I go like all gray at once.
You look great gray.
I feel like it's like so chic. Let's talk about your skin.
Oh my God. This is such a bad week for that. I moved and I'm just.
What's wrong with your skin?
I feel like it's covered in dust. I have not.
You have perfect skin.
My skin. Thank you so much.
You're one of those people that never gets breakouts.
No, I started to get a pimple the other day.
And you're I get a couple a year. A couple a year. Do you understand that like most women, it's like multiple times within a month you have like a breakout.
Seriously?
Yes.
So I sound so country because I'm like, oh, I thought that like that stopped after, like that stopped for me once I, well, a couple things. Number one. I stopped like, drinking and only eating like Checkers.
That's honestly, I think people don't understand how important what you eat and drink is for your skin. Like what you put into your body like shows on your skin.
Oh yeah. I remember being like 23 or 24 and having a breakup and like all of a sudden I lost my job. It was a terrible job. So it's very good that I got fired from this job. Like my boss even was like,
this is best for
you. He was like, I think that you're the smartest person who works here. Please go do something else. Like, I have to fire you. I'm so sorry. But yeah, so then I didn't have anything else to focus on because I would get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I would like apply for jobs and like go on informational interviews. I was so responsible. Yeah. And then I would just like exercise and just like eat and drink water and just like, I was like, and then I was like, oh, I'm 24 and you mean I don't have to have dark circles under my eyes? I was like shocked by that. So, after I was out of puberty, the whole, breakout thing wasn't that bad. I will say this. Part of the reason why, like, my adult skincare is, like, my regimen has gotten better, even though right now it's so jacked up because I just moved.
Take me through your regimen.
Okay. Let's start the ideal scenario.
Let's start with nighttime and then take me through daytime.
Okay, so nighttime, hopefully, this is what happens. I have, like, these white washcloths that I got from Amazon. They're, like, bamboo, which is processed, but whatever. And so then I use either Cetaphil, which...
I love Cetaphil.
I love it. A lot of people try to knock it because, like, there's chemicals in it. I'm like, okay, whatever. I live in New York. I'm breathing in toxins constantly. Exactly. Like, let me live. And it's, like, not expensive. And I just don't... To me, cleanser is something that's on your face so briefly.
Exactly.
I don't want to spend that much money on it.
Exactly, exactly. And you want something that's not going to strip your skin entirely.
Exactly.
Like Cetaphil has, like, that nice pH balance.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I use Cetaphil. I have a white washcloth. Ideally, I wash my face with that. Mm-hmm. And then... A lot of people are like, oh, you double cleanse. Double cleansing is like basically where you like use some sort of like micellar water, which is like this oily type of like really viscous liquid, or coconut oil or whatever, or like whatever type of oil people use.
So you oil cleanse.
Maybe, but like I don't really wear makeup that much. Yeah. So like I try not
to. But your skin is good enough to not have to wear makeup.
Yeah, I typically don't. Thank you so much. You're so kind. So yeah, I typically don't do that. And I will just wash my face. And then... you know, pat it dry. Or sometimes if I get busy, distracted, look at my phone. If I look at my phone, then my face dries. And then I spray it with like Heritage Store brand rose water spray.
Amazing.
If I have Jurlique money, then it's Jurlique rose water. Okay, but typically it's just Heritage. And then underneath my eyes, I'll put some sort of eye cream. Mm-hmm. What I use changes. I'm like not that precious about eye cream.
You're not like loyal to certain eye cream.
No, I also have this, there's this brand. This is, I have no clue if this is like a very country woman of me, but there's this like brand called Evan Healy. That's like this very nature thing. They sell it at Whole Foods.
Okay.
They have this stick that looks like a giant lip balm and they call it like an eye balm stick. Ooh. It's totally just like...
Sounds kind of something like I would like.
Yeah.
It's like natural.
It's so natural. And like I put it around my eyes. Sometimes I'll like just do like a little bit of a thing. I'll like pat it around the top and around the bottom. And I'll like put that in. Sometimes it's Clinique Eye Pep.
I like that one.
So it could be any number of things. I'm not that precious about eye stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's daytime. Yeah. So I'll do the thing. I'll do the whole spritz, and then I forgot. I do basically chemical exfoliant.
Ooh.
So I have a little circular little cotton pads. Yeah. And I use Mario Badescu. I can't remember the name, but it's like the toner.
Yep.
Like the blue toner. Mm-hmm. And then I put it on. Mm-hmm. This is not a best case scenario. I'm so full of shit because most of the time I'm like going home and falling asleep.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And so I do that. And then I put some eye stuff on. Yeah. And then I will put on either, there's this like Estee Lauder thing that I got a sample of that I really liked that I bought a jar of for
is
a little while.
Serum, a moisturizer.
It was like a night. Like moisture pack. I don't know. All the terms are
it's
bullshit.
It's all marketing.
Yeah, it's all made up. Yeah. But it was just basically like a night gel moisture-y thing, kind of chemical exfoliant. That was called like, it was like Estee Lauder The Edit or something like that. So that, or Carrez's Sleeping Facial Wild Rose like night cream thing.
That's like a cult beauty favorite.
Yeah. It is. I'm sorry. Carrez's like Sleeping Facials are
amazing.
So amazing. Will fix your face.
Especially in the winter. Like these night beauty balms are just basically like thicker moisturizers.
Yeah.
But when you wake up, your skin has like absorbed it all and you're,
Yeah, you just look way better and way less tired. So I will do that and that's what I'll do. And a lot, if it's winter time, then I'm going to spray rose water in between every layer.
Yeah. I keep the Evian mist. I don't have like the fancy rose, but I just keep it at my desk and I'm like constantly spritzing.
That stuff is great. It's great. I think people, a lot of people should
like add moisture
to your face.
It's like the same way you drink water at your desk.
Yes.
Like, give your face some water.
Air is dry and it's so dubious. Like you don't know what's in offices are terrible.
Yeah.
So bad for your skin. I know I sound like one of those crazy people on the internet who's like, oh my God, like don't eat spinach because like it erodes away at your teeth or whatever. People are always saying something is crazy. Yeah. But I actually believe office air is so bad for your face.
I agree.
So that's what I'll do at night, ideally. A lot of the time I'd say I get a facial like once or twice a year from this lady. Her name is Hillary Sklar. Mm-hmm. She is in Williamsburg. A lot of women at Vice go to see her.
Ooh.
That's what I found because she's near Vice or whatever. Okay. So every time she's like, oh, yeah, everyone at Vice comes to see me. She's a really sweet lady. Her whole thing is facials do a lot to manipulate your skin. So she's like, mm-hmm. You should not be going like all of the time. It should be like, if you have problem skin or skin that you feel is problem skin, you should be going more mm-hmm. often. But like for the most part, she's like, she told me not to see her any more than twice a year.
Wow.
So I try not to do that. But I told her, she's like, what are you doing at night? So I told her what I was doing at night. And I was like, 30% of the time. The rest of the time I'm like, if I have makeup on my face, I will wash it off and then I will do that.
Oh my God, yeah.
But if I don't have makeup on, it's so bad. Yeah. I have like street dirt and I'm going to sleep and I have all this street dirt and it's so bad.
But
it's
bad. You know, my grandmother looks extremely young for her age and I asked her like why she thinks it is and she thinks it's because she's like, I never wear makeup every day. Like she's like, I wear makeup sometimes.
Yeah.
But like, she's like, my skin is not like it's always able to breathe. Which I feel like is like a key.
I think, I really do think it is. And the only reason why I stopped wearing it really well, I never really got that much into it. But I went through this phase where I had like, I was like, oh, I have yellow undertones. I'm so warm toned. I need this Bobbi Brown foundation stick. And then I like
figure out what your undertones are, by the way.
To me, it's by the jewelry that looks good on you. So I'm a gold.
Say more.
You will rarely catch me. There are a few things that I have. If I have some things that are white gold or silver that I got as gifts, then that is, I will wear those things and I'm happy to. But 99% of the time I wear gold jewelry and it just looks best on me. There are certain colors that I will not wear. This cobalt blue, these microphones. I never wear purple. You will never see me. Lavender maybe.
Sorry, the microphones.
But purple, no, it's fine. It's fine. I remember like anytime we've ever, I'm psychotic. Every logo that I've ever had for a show that I worked on at Gimlet.
Yeah.
They're like, whenever they have a graphic designer who's like, what are your preferences? And I'm just like, pretty much anything. No purple.
Oh, wow.
And like, I remember like fighting people and being like,
I
just
purple
really.
Either. I don't know why though. But I don't know if gold or silver looks better on me. I just like switch between the two. Like I always wore silver and now like this is the first time I have gold. Cause like,
gold. I think you actually, it looks great.
But I don't know.
It looks great.
I don't know
you.
If I'm like cool.
But you might
undertones.
Also be neutral. You seem like you could be really neutral. Yeah.
Just when people ask me, I'm like, I don't know what my undertones are.
Yeah, I know mine. Because like, there's certain colors I look at, I'm turned off, and I'm just like, oof. Also red.
It's like a visceral, sometimes it's a visceral reaction.
Yeah, I typically will not wear the color red outright, just because like.
I think you would look good in red.
I
like
might
burgundy
look good in red.
Like
well, burgundy
red.
Is different. Oxblood is different. But like, like bright red.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think because I have a lot of reddish undertones, it just makes me look like bozo. So like actual red, so like whatever, that's like a whole drama of its own. But I used to, then I lost my job and I was like, maybe I was 25, I lost my job. And then it was like, guess we're not buying any more face makeup. And so then I was like, I guess I better get my skin under control so I don't need to. And then I realized actually by never really putting it on, from that point on, I think I want to say I bought I sometimes buy concealer. Oh, wow. And I have, like, a concealer that I kind of, like, NARS discontinued this one that I had that I liked. They discontinued it, so I had to use another one. And it's fine. And it's, like, I don't know. I'm, like, curious to see what Fenty Beauty has going on.
Oh, my gosh. But I checked out the whole collection. It's amazing.
That's what I keep hearing.
But you also don't. Here's the thing. Like, you don't need foundation.
But, you like, I want to have, like, my, I like the under eye concealer whole thing or whatever sometimes.
Don't really have dark
circles. But, like, yeah, I don't really wear, which is amazing because I never sleep in my life. Is but, yeah, no, so, yeah, in the morning time, though, is
sunscreen,
when
I hope.
Sunscreen, yeah. So morning time, it's pretty much the same thing. So I'll wash once or twice a week. I'll use a Clarisonic brush because sometimes I'm like, I can't just chemically exfoliate. Well, actually, I probably could just chemically exfoliate. I actually followed my nighttime regimen like a human being.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with exfoliating. I think exfoliating is probably like the biggest path, like the straightest path to good skin. Because some people don't exfoliate, and I'm like,
and then you have to clear the debris.
It's essential.
I didn't get a Clarisonic head for a while, and like my face was like, I was looking like, I was like, oh.
Yeah. And sometimes the Clarisonic is too harsh for certain skin tones, but some way, whether it's like a scrub or even if it's a chemical thing like AHA, you have to.
Yeah, you have to do something.
Do something to clear off that dead skin.
Yeah, so so the morning, I pretty much do the same thing. I wash either the, like, I use a different white washcloth every day.
Okay.
So I wash with that.
So you wash it in between so there's not bacteria buildup.
Yeah, I'll explain who I got that from later, and I want everyone to go to her website. She's this amazing, like, white British lady from Caroline Hirons. She's amazing.
No, I don't know.
Oh, she's the best.
What's her name?
Caroline, I think it's Hirons or Hirons. It's H-I-R-O-N-S. Caroline, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E.
I'll put her site in the
Everything. Amazing. Okay. She has the best cheat sheets. She's the shit. I love her. Really? So she, so she's the one who got me to start using, doing the whole, like, double cleansing white washcloth thing. So I use one white washcloth in the morning, whatever, wash my face, rinse it, spritz it. Then I do, a lot of times, eye balm or whatever in the morning. And then serum, moisturizer, and then sunscreen. But, there's some other stuff that I could use, but like,
no,
I just, to me, I'm like, it works, it's enough.
As long as you're moisturized and you have sun protection, that's like all you need.
Yeah, and like, to me, that's enough. And also, I don't do any chemical exfoliants during the day because they shouldn't be exposed to sunlight.
No, of course, never.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the daytime. And then, like, if I'm going to put on makeup, which like I literally almost never do, just because, like, if I must, then I will put on, like, I don't know, the other day some people came and followed me and my co-host around, like, for a thing, like a TV thing. Oh, and so then I did have some makeup on.
Did they do your makeup or?
No. You did. We're like podcast people. We're basically pod people to other media. So like that doesn't happen. But
okay. So I feel like we've touched on like some products you like. I do want to ask like the products you like, but while we're on the subject, what are the three beauty trends that you really do not like?
Three beauty trends that I don't like.
Or three beauty products or things you've done in the past that have just ended up disastrous.
Oh, my God. Honestly, this is the one thing I want everybody to know.
Yeah.
Actually, I have two things that are really important.
Yeah.
Number one, people need to stop trusting people on YouTube with what they need to do with their own hair and their own makeup.
Thank you.
Their own skincare.
Thank you. Continue, please.
You should typically trust a professional. Find a professional that you trust. Trust a professional, which is why I like Caroline so much. This British lady, Caroline Hirons, whatever.
Yeah.
She is an esthetician, and she's really good at giving wide-ranging advice. She's really good at, like, the whole, like, in my experience, she's like, she's like a facialist.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
And there are a lot of girls who just like makeup and stuff, and they're giving advice on YouTube as if they're experts, and then people are following them.
Yeah,
and I'm
no.
Like, this isn't going to end well.
I think that a lot of times it's good. I love YouTube as a tool for finding someone who has a similar skin tone or similar color.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great.
Similar eye shape, somebody who's, you know, people who have really good contouring skills or people who know how to like use a certain styling method that works for them.
Yep.
I love that. Use it as a resource, but also know that they are experts at their faces and their skin tones and their hair.
Exactly.
Not yours.
Exactly.
And so you have to take all that with a grain of salt and stop. People are like, oh, I just put coconut oil on my face. And I'm like, that's not a skincare product.
I know.
Coconut oil, I'm all for, I love people using natural things.
It doesn't go on your face, though.
No, that's not what's supposed to do. I do sometimes use coconut oil as like the first cleanse before double cleanse, but then it's immediately getting washed off.
Exactly. And you're doing hot water and it's like oil cleansing. But you can't use coconut oil as like a moisturizer.
No, it's not. It's like not, that's not how.
Your skin can't breathe through it.
No, and like skin, the only way for skin and hair to get moisture is through water.
Exactly. and sealing that water.
Exactly. And the oil can sometimes be a sealant, especially for hair. I find like every time after I wash my hair, take a little castor oil. I take a little bit of coconut oil, and that's what goes on my ends and like the underneath and the edges and all that stuff.
I love castor oil.
Love it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, I need a water-based moisturizer on my skin and on my hair to be able to make the whole thing work. And I want people to understand that, like, skincare and hair care products exist. Hair you can be a little bit more flexible on. But skincare specifically, skincare products exist for your skin. And sometimes chemicals are important, you know? Sometimes you need, like, sometimes, like, there's a reason why, like, there's a product as opposed to just going and, like, taking something off of, like, a Whole Foods shelf and putting it directly on your body. Everyone's free to do what they want.
Yeah.
But, like, I wish that people would sort of respect that, like, it's not like...
Yeah.
All... It's not like, you know, there's a difference between, like, products that have an inordinate amount of chemicals that they don't need.
Yeah, which is horrible.
Yeah, but...
I make a lot of my own products, but I also know where the line is, and I know, like, what I cannot make.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm like, oh my God, I love when people are using body oil and making their own body butter.
Yeah.
And, like, I love to deep condition my hair out of a kitchen. And if I had one of those little ninja food processors that all the YouTube girls have to do their hair, I'm sure... Excuse me. I'm sure I'd be using, doing all sorts of shit with my hair that I don't do now. But, like, products are not necessarily the devil. Everything that comes out of the kitchen is not going to help you.
Exactly.
That's something I want people to understand.
That's a great, great point.
Another thing I want people to understand is you have to put money. Hair costs money.
Say more, because I think that a lot of people, like, will go natural and be like, oh, I'm going to save so much money. And I'm like, on what?
No. I mean, look.
Because...
Hair costs money.
If you're getting weaves, it's going to be very expensive. But if you have natural hair, you have to keep it up and, like, make sure it looks good all the time and moisture. Like, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I am really lucky.
Sorry,
in that.
We should say to have healthy hair costs money.
Healthy hair costs money. Hair is free. It grows out of your head. But healthy hair costs money. Like, you want to make sure that, like, that you're putting the same.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, I understand everybody has different budgets. I have existed on many a different budget.
Yes.
But, like, I'd say the best foundational thing that you can do as far as, like, hair habits is find a hairstylist that you trust and get a good haircut. Because, like, even if you're using product that's not the best or most expensive, truth be told, I just recently got, like, expensive shampoo because I only wash my hair once a month. So I just recently got expensive shampoo. My conditioner...
It's going to last you all year.
it lasts me all year.
Yeah.
My conditioner... it's decent quality, but it could be better, but you can still buy it at Whole Foods.
And also, I think you can, like, amp up decent conditioner with adding, like, coconut oil and castor oil and shea butter so that it has more, like, moisturizing properties.
Yeah, but, like, I, my hair products, though, I will never skimp on.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, because that's where my hair derives, like, the two biggest things, like, I want my hair to be moisturized, I want my hair to be defined.
Yeah.
Like, beyond having a good haircut, I want my hair to be moisturized and defined. So I use Camille Rose Naturals, either they're twisting butter or they're, curling butter
those
things.
Those products,
they're so good. Yeah. I use that. Then I use Kinky Curly.
Kinky Curly, not today?
No, the curly custard. Yeah. And then I put that on my edges and the ends.
It takes so long to dry.
I've actually started putting less product in now. All of them magically. When I stopped kicking my hair, I'm like, oh, my hair can dry?
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm doing. I'm using too much. Yeah,
I was using too much and also, like, spending too much money because I was using too much product. Probably, I was probably using, like, 75% more product than I needed to for about 4 years.
I know.
But you don't want your hair to be dry, so it's hard.
So you're like, let me layer it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And you do wash and goes, which right now I have crochet braids in, but my whole natural life I've never been able to do wash and goes.
Everybody's different. Wash and goes work for me. But my thing is like, find a professional that you trust to work with. Like, on one hand, a lot of times, like, there are things a professional knows that you don't know. But on the other hand, nobody knows your hair.
Like you do.
You know your hair.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, like, definitely just, like, invest. Be patient in learning the products that work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, when I say, like, invest in your hair, like, I will spend, you know, like, not tons of money. It's not like I'm going out every time I get my haircut, it's $300.
Right.
But, like, I will spend a certain amount of money to get my hair cut. Yeah. And I only get my haircut every 3 months.
Right. But when your hair looks great, I feel like everything else kind of, like,
works.
Yeah, and then your hair accepts product in the right way, and like the color works and all that sort of stuff. So like every 3 months I get my hair. It's only four times a year if you really break it down. Yeah. And then the products that I use, when I say like, oh, invest money in it, like the products I use are each $17. It's not like I'm out here using $90 product or anything like that. But I've gone through the phases of just like, I'm like, oh, why is my hair breaking off? What am I doing wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, I'm using crappy product that has a bunch of like
alcohols and
really alcohols harmful. Will dry, dry your hair out and all that sort of stuff. And some people have that super thick hair that and like that can withstand all that. That's not me. So yes, I want people to invest in having healthy hair.
Yes.
As much as you can afford to.
Yes.
And also, to like, don't YouTube people don't, they don't know everything. They don't know everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What are the three like products that you just like can't live without?
Okay. So in general,
overall beauty products,
Camille Rose Naturals. Oh my God. Oh,
it's so good. Is it black owned? I hope so.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Their curling butters and twisting butters are so beyond perfect.
They're so good. You know what? I looked at the ingredients and I think it's because there's aloe vera in it. Because aloe vera is like very good for like pH balancing in the hair.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I wish I knew. I have no patience to learn any sort of hair science. I'm always just like, is it working?
But yes, their products are lovely.
They're great. And they have like they've kept me together for years. If they change their formulation,
yeah,
I know. I'm going to be coming in on some John Q crying and locking their doors. I am.
But it's devastating when like the products you love change. You're like, what is this? It doesn't work for me all of a sudden.
There's a product that Garnier Nutriche made 10 years ago. Yeah. That was like a curly hair product. And they discontinued it. Yeah. I mean, it used to cost like $6 for like a big, like squeeze bottle of it. When they changed the form, discontinued it. It ruined my life.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
yeah, it was like the best cheap alternative to the $18 Aveda product, which was very slim and like only lasted so long. You never forgive somebody when they change the formula or they discontinue.
Any other holy grail product?
I am all about, I love a night cream, obviously, as I mentioned, but, something that I really love to me, serum, I think is like, to me, it's like when I first started taking birth control when I was maybe 23, my skin went haywire. And one of my dearest friends, who's a delight, I love her, her name's Ashley Rosenberg, she's wonderful. My friend Ashley, she was just like, you need to start. She's the person who was like, you need to focus on skincare because like it's the only thing that will help you. Like, I understand what you're going through. It's hormonal. Yeah. It's crazy. But like, you need like just lean on this routine.
Yeah.
And she's the one who got me into Carrez. But the serum is the thing where I immediately was just like, whoa.
Wow, game
I was
changer.
Like, what? Yeah. People have been using this? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And I would say that I like Drunk Elephant Vitamin C Serum.
Ooh,
but that's like $90. That. Oh, Drunk Elephant, everything I really like, actually. But it's like, and I actually really like the smell. It's kind of burnt, but I was smelling something the other day, and I was like, what is it? Burnt elephant smell. I mean, it's the Drunk Elephant smell. Drunk Elephant Serum is pretty good. I would say, though, value-wise, you can get really similar results with a better, actually, slip. Like, Ole Henriksen Vitamin C Truth Serum. It just feels like what you, when you think serum, it's like, this is what serum feels like.
Yes, yes, yes. And vitamin C is so good for your skin. And adds a lot of like vibrancy and brightness. Yeah.
It is. Okay. Oh my God. See, now I need to buy some. I actually need to re-up.
Here's the thing. I have like a beauty budget. Like I have like a set amount of money that I spend on beauty.
I need to do that.
So then I don't feel guilty. And then I know, okay, finish all of the products that you have before you buy. Like, knowing how much I'm spending towards beauty each month is actually very helpful. And I actually up the budget in the like fall, winter months because I'm like, I'm going to need to spend
Oh my God, I can already feel it. My face is already like, girl. Between moving, being around constant dust because I haven't been able to unpack everything, the season's changing, so I have all these histamines attacking me. Personally,
I know.
Physically, spiritually.
Yeah.
And then just like the grime of the city. I need to re-up my products. My face is like, girl, can you please focus?
My challenge is finishing the products that I have before I buy new ones. That's
really?
Like, that's like the new thing that I hold myself to. Because I'm like, I can't have a bunch of half-open crap and then
just
go out and buy them. So I'm like, let me finish what I have and then...
That's really smart. Yeah, I'm all about, I'm like anal, so I'm like, I have to finish the thing.
That's good.
I like to only have, I actually am pretty sparse as far as like my daily routine and like the products and like where they all are. Like they all fit into like a pretty good space. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, that's my whole, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely, I love serum. Serum to me is like,
everything.
Yes.
And what do you do for fragrance? Did I touch on a sensitive subject?
I actually was raised to be super into fragrance.
Okay.
And, like, I remember being, like, you know, a young woman of, like, 14, 15 and getting, like, my first bottle of, like, Terry Mugler.
That's
Angel.
Really,
wait, like,
that's
that
really
was,
fancy for a 14-year-old.
I don't know how I got this. I have a memory of, like, buying it on a cruise ship or something like that.
Oh, my God. That's...
But now it's funny because, like, I smelled it on an adult recently and I was like, oh, my God, this smells like
14-year-old
nasty.
Me?
I'm like, why was I walking around smelling this? Like, 14, 15. That's too grown. But I have all these different scents that, like, really, my parents, like, they love giving perfume as
okay.
a gift.
Yeah.
Like, every Christmas, it's like everyone knows they're going to get perfume.
Okay.
The last scent that I really connected to as an adult that I purchased was Balenciaga's first scent.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
It was really good. It was, like, really, like, it just smelled kind of, like, clean and a little bit grown up and very much, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the scent that I've always wanted that I've never bought that I probably just should buy is Jazz Club by Margiela.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I know a lot of men wear, but it smells amazing on me.
Yeah.
It smells amazing on me.
And I love dual sex fragrances. Like,
yeah.
I hate, like, floral. Like, when I smell Chanel No. 5, I'm kind of like, I'm just like.
I like it. It's like, it reminds me of, like, a grandma?
Yeah. Exactly. I smell like that. But you know what I do, and I've, like, learned this after a few times of buying really expensive fragrances that I didn't end up wearing, I will shamelessly go into Bergdorf's, Barney's, whatever, and just ask for a sample.
Yes.
And even sometimes I'll say, oh, we don't have one. I'll say, oh, I have one. Like, I'll come with a little, like, travel fragrance thing.
No,
I do. Because and I communicate to the salesperson, listen, I bought fragrances before, I love them in the shop, and then you wear them and you're like, oh, it's so cloying, it's really sweet, I have a headache. You know when fragrances give you a headache?
Yeah.
They're expensive and you can't return it once you've opened it. So I'll say, like, I really just need to wear it. I will come back and purchase it from you. You know, like,
create that
relationship. And they're usually pretty understanding because they're usually, like,
that
fragrance people. But, like, Tom Ford, like, all of them, they usually have samples.
Oh, I do like a lot of the Tom Ford.
I love the Tom Ford.
They're so, like, complex and, like,
they're, like,
evil.
Very,
I love
like,
them.
Sensual.
Yeah.
And, like, I love the Tom Ford fragrances, but every Tom Ford fragrance I've had, like, a sample that I've used consistently for a week before I purchased it. Which has been a game changer because you get to, you know.
Yeah, no, they unfold over time.
They unfold over
the day. Yeah.
You can't just try a fragrance in a department store and buy it, I don't think.
No.
So you should just get lots of Jazz Club samples. And then also their websites, like LuckyScent.com, you can order sample sizes for like $10.
Wait, what is it?
Lucky scent.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I need to find a new scent. I'm like in a new phase of my life now. I've been saying that for like too long. Everyone's like, isn't this the same phase? But I'm like in a new phase of my life now. It's like I'm cohabitating. My job, I finally only have one job. I don't want to, I'm not like actively looking for a new job.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to feel like a grown woman who's like on her shit. I'm like, what is my scent? Like, what is my look?
Exactly.
And I'm just like, I could so use that.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is my last question that I'm going to ask you. I ask all of my guests. When do you feel most beautiful?
Mm. It's been so long since I've had this precise moment. Well, I have two answers.
Okay.
So I have like the answer, which is like the anytime answer, which is like anytime I get to, when I feel like I'm having a real moment of connection with somebody where I'm really like, they really understand me. I'm really being seen. Sometimes that happens when I'm interviewing someone at work.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it happens with my boyfriend. He's so wonderful. Aww. And I just feel like I'm like, you know, he looks at me and we're just talking.
So
he's
cute.
Listening and he's so great. Sometimes when I'm talking to, you know, a lot of times I'm talking to a close friend or family member.
Yeah.
It's like that genuine, like, I'm present and I'm here and you're with me and I know that you love me and appreciate me type of thing. Or like, I know that like you're feeling the genuine connection. And then the material answer, which is, I used to do this thing on Friday night when I was in like my, when I was like super single and like working on myself, definition of working on myself, hashtag working on myself.
Got it.
Every Friday night, I would come home, cook dinner. Then I would draw a bath and I would put on a bentonite clay mask in the bathtub.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite
type of mask. Bentonite clay mask.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed.
I love them, they're great. So I put on a bentonite clay mask and then I would put like a bunch of like oil in my hair.
Yeah.
Then I would sit in the bath and read, maybe drink wine, but probably have tea or something like that. Sit in the bath and read, listen to music from my iPad. This is how you know this is why I woke up. And then afterward, I would like wash my hair, condition it, twist it, and then like do the whole thing.
I'm like feeling beautiful, like listening.
Right. And then like, I would just like, you know, slather on all of the creams.
Yes, exactly.
Drink like a gallon of water and watch like PBS in my bed.
Oh my God.
And then go to bed at like 10. And that, it's so,
I get it.
That for some reason, that to me, just like,
it's like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. There are like certain, there's a couple grooming things. If my eyebrows are done, yeah. waxing is done. If like by magic, like by God's will, I've shaved the top half of my legs.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then like, I am completely like, showered,
yes,
exfoliated,
yes,
like
yes.
conditioned,
yes.
I literally in my bed, in like my bathrobe and do rag in the bed,
yes. But your legs feel so nice against the sheets,
yes,
like, yes.
Yeah, then I'm honestly like, I am sure that like my boyfriend looks at me and is like, you look so regular, like,
but you're like inside, how right? I feel, yeah.
I'm like inside though, like yeah. in my spirit, in my like spirit, the yeah. Epsom salt and the coconut oil,
yes, yes.
and like the chemical yes, exfoliant. Yes. And yes. like everything
I know,
together,
I know.
Like that to me, like yeah. that's when I talk, I'm like reclaiming my Friday night. I told my boy, I was like Friday, yeah. Saturday, I'm reclaiming my time. Yeah. Like just, this is, I don't know what your plans are, but
do you,
this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is like that to me oh is God. Like, I just, cause that's when I feel at peace. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm at one with my body.
Yes.
I feel relaxed.
Yes. Yes.
And I feel like really that's relate. Like, those are the things that make people seem beautiful.
Exactly. I really relate to that. Yeah, that's probably the answer that I relate to most. Like, yeah, because you're just like, I'm giving myself what I need
yeah.
to feel beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
There are my Sealy twists and I have my hair tied down.
Sealy twists. It's so real.
And I'm hydrated
gosh.
And that's
amazing.
That's everything.
Okay, well, cheers.
Oh my God,
to that.
I don't have no wine. That's so sad.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on. You'll have to come back and we can like continue talking.
Oh my God,
about...
yeah. No, when I get my life together.
Your life is together.
No, everyone keeps telling me that. I'm like, stop lying. Okay. My life is together. I'm going to come back and I'm going to blow you away.
Okay. All right. Your life is pretty together. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'll put everything, all of the gems and her show and everything all in the show notes. All right. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.